Again, I ask that you have page 323 in your hymnals ready for when I need to talk about that in the sermon. On this feast of the day of Pentecost, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and from the Holy Spirit. Today, the feast of Pentecost, and next week, the feast of the Holy Trinity of Christ's Holy Church. We'll explore the mysteries of the one Almighty God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mysteries which distinguish the one true faith of Holy Scripture from any other religious system, any system that has ever existed. And while there are groups that use similar terminology or claim one of the persons of the Trinity as their God, the pure teaching of the church does nothing other than repeat back to God who God has revealed him to be, not in the musings of man, but found only in the holy word of God, the word of God alone. From the first chapters of Genesis to the final verses of the book of Revelation, we find the Holy Trinity working in eternity as one true Almighty God. One God operating in three distinct personages. It's beyond our comprehension, and it's not really in the scope of today's celebration. And yet, while we, mere humans, assign certain work to each of the three persons, they are really all involved in each work, as you will likely confess at length next week in the Athanasian Creed. Indeed, all three ecumenical creeds of the Holy Church confess the same things. The same things we confess in the Nicene Creed, normally used on communion Sundays, on feast days. We confess it in the Apostles' Creed that we use in other worship services, at baptisms, and as we teach the faith through Luther's catechisms. These creeds teach us the Christian faith as we confess what it is that we believe. And yes, the creeds are also used to defend the faith as they are drawn directly from Holy Scripture. Even as Paul wrote and taught his pupil in his letter of 2 Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out, that is, inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We believe, teach, and confess in the creeds what the Holy Spirit has inspired to be put down in man's language to bring unity, unlike God's work at the Tower of Babel. The Lord himself doing the work to call us near to him, to the one true triune God and his plan for our salvation in Jesus, as preached by Peter on that day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord. The Holy Spirit working in him and the other apostles to call sinners to faith and the saving work of Jesus on the cross. Sounds simple enough. But what if, as all people under the influence of original sin, we are a bit thick at times, a bit slow on the uptake, even distracted by the troubles of the world and Satan's tactics to draw us away? What then? And doesn't that kind of describe how Jesus' closest disciples were portrayed at times, distracted by many things? How could these men be trusted to pass on the most important information of all time, the love of God and salvation in the sacrificial blood of Jesus? Well, thanks be to God, we have the best, perfect, infallible teachers of all time. We have the gospel teaching of Jesus, and when he ascended back to heaven, having accomplished the work for our salvation, the Father, in Jesus' name, sent the Holy Spirit to continue teaching, reminding them of all the words of Jesus, and in each word and act was fulfillment of the Old Testament, which again the Spirit caused to be set down, that teaching for us today too, knowing that every word pointed to Jesus. And through the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the miraculous saving gifts of our God is remembered today, on this 50th day after Easter. How that empowerment has spread the good news of salvation in Jesus for 2,000 years in all languages among the world. The Holy Spirit continuing to call us to faith and to strengthen our trust in the love and comfort of God. Yes, the blessed miracle goes on today. Not the speaking in tongues mentioned in the second lesson, a reading that is misunderstood by many and often misused in the church, but the miracle is that God, in His love, sent the Holy Spirit to continue the work, as we see throughout Scripture, in our hearing, in our reading, and as Luther taught in the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. You know, it's in the hymnal, as I pointed out earlier. So I would ask you to get ready again, because it's worth a good look-see today, a short look-see, as we hear in wonderment the work and blessing and teaching of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Let's read together the third article under sanctification. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. The most crucial moment of all human history we celebrated on Easter morning, as was revealed to the world, Christ's resurrection. The acknowledgement of God that His sacrificial blood shed for us and His payment for all had been received and accomplished what was necessary. But it's not just for informational purposes. We hear these words, we confess these words, because it's transformational. It's for our comfort and peace, as Jesus reminds us. At times we get caught up in the world, we forget to remember that in salvation in Jesus, we have peace. Peace that the world does not know. The peace of reconciliation with God. And we possess the most same reassuring words of Jesus that were a comfort for the apostles on the night when Jesus was betrayed. Words given not once, but twice in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Words of comfort for us today. Oftentimes hearing those words at time of mourning in the funeral service. Let not your hearts be troubled. The Lord goes to prepare an eternal dwelling for those who, through the Holy Spirit, believe in God and Jesus, and that He will come again to take all believers to be with Him. Yes, those are words of comfort for the apostles who, with the teaching of the Holy Spirit, remembered these words and set them down for our comfort. For in the work of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to teach us through the Scriptures, we are brought to salvation in Jesus. That's peace. That's peace that the world cannot give. That's comfort. That's comfort that comes only in knowing that Jesus and the Father sent the Holy Spirit to guide us until the glorious day of His return. After Christ's ascension on the 40th day, the disciples waited another 10 days. And that number 10 is oftentimes a time of a means of testing. A time of testing faith. Would they in fear disband, as we knew they were fearful in those days? after the resurrection. The Holy Spirit not only assures that we have the words of Jesus, but we also have the history of the early church. Indeed, those apostles stayed together. They prayed. The Holy Spirit helped them to remember and apply the Lord's teachings and to remain unified until the promises of Christ were fulfilled on Pentecost. And then, as the great chef Emeril would say, bam! The day of the promise fulfilled as they were equipped. The Holy Spirit transformed them from timid to bold preachers. Yes, with the teaching of Jesus, but just as important, they would have another teacher who would come alongside them to teach them and remind them accurately of the words of Jesus. They'd have the Holy Spirit with them as they recorded those words and were brought to mind the Old Testament and how Jesus met every description of the promised Savior of the world. It is through those means that we confess that we are called by the Holy Spirit, working forgiveness, found only in the gospel of Jesus and gifted to us in the means of grace, God's holy word, the sacrament of baptism, and in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Moments ago, we confessed that we could not, by our own reason, believe in Jesus. How could we believe in someone we never met, who died 2,000 years ago? Well, as we're reminded in the scriptures often, nothing is impossible for God. And so God, in the eternal plan for our salvation, calls us by the good news of Jesus, the gospel, written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as that same Spirit creates faith in our hearing, we know that the Holy Spirit continues to work in us and strengthen and teach us, to guide us in a holy, sanctified life as we continue to receive the good news in our hearing on Sunday morning, in our reading during the week. This miracle of bringing us faith in Jesus is for us individuals, but also to bring unity to the whole Christian church on earth. And in that church, we remember our sins. We daily repent, yet remembering our baptism and returning to that baptismal grace and forgiveness that God promises to all who trust in Christ alone for salvation, not in their own reason or will or actions. It is the Holy Spirit who brings us to knowledge of Jesus and his work on the cross for us and for our salvation. It is the Holy Spirit-inspired scriptures that keep us in saving faith, despite the fact that we sin daily and need repentance and forgiveness. Yes, a daily teaching process for us. It is the Holy Spirit that keeps us in the one true faith and thus responsible for raising us on the last day through the means of grace, giving life eternal to me, to you, and to all believers. That faith transforms us into God's image and gives life. And that is why we confess in the Nicene Creed, the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. In the garden, God breathed Spirit into Adam. Through the inspired, that is, breathed out word of God, the Spirit brings eternal life in the knowledge of Jesus and brings eternal life for all believers and condemnation for those who refuse to believe. The Holy Spirit is certainly a teacher for life, and that brings life. Many of us remember that long-running program, Little House on the Prairie. And it seems like they were frequently ringing that bell at the meeting house. The teacher rang it to call the children to come do their lessons and learn. It rang on Sunday morning to call the faithful to come to hear the word of God. And for some of us who grew up on a farm, often that bell was a call to us to dinner, where we would feed on God's provision from the ground and prayerfully feed on the word of God, even in a simple blessing of the food. In any case, that bell was a signal that it was time. Now, for our worship, though not being tied to a bell, and most of us would be out of hearing distance anyway, we too are to hear the call to come to God's holy church, to hear God's holy word in the miraculous work of the inspired Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Hope you saw what I did there. To be God's people, to heed the call to be holy, transformed, not timid, but to be bold, to believe in the one sent from heaven, Jesus, and his holy work for our salvation. Jewish tradition is that God gave Moses the Word of God, the Old Testament, the Torah, on the date of the Old Testament feast of Pentecost. And yes, that's not just a Christian feast. 50 days after God saved his people through the blood of an innocent lamb, he gave them feasts that were to gather the people together to hear the word of God, to come hear the goodness of God who delivered the people from slavery and sin. God is big on remembering, commanding it, having it written down for them and for us. On this feast of the day of Pentecost, the church gathers to remember the great gifts of God, to spread the good news to all lands and tongues that Jesus has accomplished for us reconciliation with God and the means of forgiveness, deliverance from the devil, and eternal life. Even as we're called to a lifetime of hearing and remembering that sacrifice and hearing and the teaching of our God and Savior through the miraculous and blessed gifts of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.